Thank you. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to continue our study, or our beginnings of our study on this Lord's Prayer, where disciples in the very first opening of this chapter would say, "Teach us to pray." And I want to read that to you as we get started this morning in today's Word. Hasn't it been a great service so far? Just amen? Yeah. And just so grateful for what God's doing in your lives, the testimonies of God's grace and mercy and life. And just really, really grateful for that. If you're new to us today, we've come off of a series on hearing God, and we're beginning this series on prayer where we speak to God. And we look at prayer and we look at the Word as the two pillars, the two foundations of the Christian life, of our life, where we're in the Scripture and we're hearing God and where we're speaking back to Him. It's really interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture, you have a disciple who says, "Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. We want to know how to pray. We want to know what to say when we pray. We want to be found praying," is what it's really saying, "and we want to know what we're supposed to be saying when we pray. What are the things that we're supposed to be approaching you about in prayer?" And I ask the question, why ask that question? Why is that, or that statement, "teach us to pray"? And I think there's a couple of reasons. The number one reason is that these folks knew the power of prayers of the Old Testament saints. They knew, they read them and they saw what God did. If you think about just doing a brief Old Testament scan of prayers and answers to prayer. In Abraham's life, Abraham's servant prayed for Isaac, a wife, when he was sent to find a wife for Isaac, and God answers the prayer for Isaac. Abraham prayed for Abimelech, a king, and he was healed, and his wife and the maids of the land were fertile again. They no longer couldn't have children. Isaac prayed and Rebekah shows up, or Rebekah conceives twins. Hannah prays and Samuel comes after her years of barrenness. Elijah prays for drought, and drought happens for 3.5 years, and then he prays for rain, and what happens? It rains. Elijah prays on Mount Carmel for the glory of God and the demonstration of God's glory, and fire falls down from heaven and consumes the altar and consumes the things on the altar. Elisha prays and raises a child from the dead. Nehemiah prays and the king's heart is turned in one moment, and he goes to build the walls of Jerusalem for the return of Israel from the Babylonian captivity. Prayer and power prayer is laced in the Old Testament, and these folks saw that. They understood it. And you know, a second reason why I think they prayed is because they saw the utter power and intimacy and fullness and results of Jesus praying. Jesus has just finished praying, and he heard him pray. They've heard what he has said. They have seen what God has done as a result of these prayers. And so they say, "Teach us to pray." But I think there's a third reason, and the third reason is that they saw the utter bankruptcy of their leaders of that day and how they got to praying repetitiously and using words and praying to be seen by men and praying for very selfish reasons and prideful reasons. And they saw their own leaders bankrupt of the Spirit, bankrupt of prayerlessness, bankrupt of selflessness, a selfish people. And so we hear this heartbeat of these disciples. "Oh God, teach us to pray. We want to know what to say. We want to know how to approach you. We want to know what to say and how to say it. And Lord, we just want to have this wonderful relationship with God that we see you having with the Father." And I want to say this. If you're a child of God, there's something within you and there's something within me that wants what they want it. Is that right? We want to know how to approach God. We want to know how to pray. We want to know what it means to persevere in prayer. But I think every one of us would say how hard it is, right? how hard it is to sit before God and to be still before Him and to move from 5 minutes to 10 minutes or to 20 minutes and to persevere in prayer. And you know why it's hard? I'm going to tell you why it's hard. It's because prayer changes things and moves things. Prayer is the means by which God's glory is demonstrated in and through our lives, and the enemy doesn't want any of that. And so you'll get to praying, and in 3 minutes you'll say something that'll trigger something over here, and you'll chase a rabbit, and you're not praying anymore, and all of a sudden, sometimes in prayer, you're thinking about that person and what that person did, and before long, you're angry in your prayer time. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Enemy doesn't want you to pray. But there's something in our lives, there's something in our heart, by means of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that compels us to have this deep, growing intimacy with Christ. And the only way that happens is through hearing God and talking to God. It's that basic. It's that basic. And these folks wanted that. And I want to ask the question, do you want that? Do you want that? Or are we so consumed with this life that we're finding other things to place, to replace God in prayer and in the Word? Teach us to pray. I pray that that's your heartbeat. That as we move through this series on praying, on the Lord's Prayer, that your heartbeat would be, oh God, I want to know how to pray. Oh God, I want to know how to linger in prayer. Oh God, I want to know how to hear you in prayer, speak to you. Lord, I want to know how it is to bring my request before you. And you know what, Lord, and it doesn't really matter at this point whether I think you answer according to what I want or what I think I need, but God, I just want you to be glorified in my life. I just want to have this intimacy with you. I want to get up from my prayer now. I'm thinking, I've met with the living God. I've met with Him, and I had this opportunity to approach Him. And so Jesus says it. He says it very, very clearly. When they ask Him this question, this is what He says. He said to them, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. And He says, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Matthew's account also, because Matthew's account of the sermon, during the Sermon on the Mount, it just kind of broadens. It's the one, the Lord's Prayer that we're familiar with. And so we're going to be taking just snapshots of each of those phrases. And like we said last week, each of these phrases is just simply a guide. It's simply, I didn't say it this week, but it's like a springboard to the next few minutes of praying. This prayer is not created to recite, although you can recite it just like you recite Scripture. It's okay. But it is a guide. It's a skeleton. It's an outline to where you stand before God, where God says, hey, these are the things that need to be coming out of your mouth in prayer time. And you know what's great about it is, in this outline, is as you move through, and as we're going to see in just the very first, this very first message, there is a wealth to pray after each of these phrases. So let's start with the first one. Our Father who is in heaven. It's coming, that's the complete phrase in Matthew chapter 6 when in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And let's just kind of move like we did last week and just ask the question, what are we saying when we say our Father? What are we saying? Now, first of all, when you look at this prayer, you're looking at two aspects of it. You're looking at God's glory or our worship. Okay, where it's God's glory and we're worshiping Him and we speak of His name and His kingdom and His will being done. And then the second part of it is God's provision or our need. Okay, so it's God's glory and we speak of His name and we speak of His kingdom and we speak of His will. And then we look at God's provision in our lives as He meets our need. He gives, He forgives, He leads, He delivers. And each of these phrases can be looked at as just the relationship that we have with God. And the first relationship that we have with God that is preeminent of all of these things is our Father. He's our Father. And so when we pray, we, our Father who art in heaven, we are saying we are saying our Father, ours. And what's wonderful about this is that when you look at the Old Testament and the concept of Father, there's only about 10 verses of Scripture that speaks to God as Father. And most of those are just in relationship with Him giving birth to Israel. It doesn't talk a whole lot about the relationship with God the Father. And Jesus comes along, and you know what? Our Father explodes on the scene. I mean, you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 65 times Father appears as a relationship that we have with Him. And then you go to John, and there's 100 more times, 165 times in the first four books of the New Testament alone. It explodes with this relationship that we have with God, our Father. And what's interesting about this is that Jesus, when he prayed always to Father. He always addressed Him as Father. And you know, when the New Testament was written, it was written in Greek, but they spoke Aramaic. And in Greek, the word is pater, which just means Father. But in the Aramaic, He was always saying, Abba, Father. Abba. This term Abba means that whoever is praying it and saying it, it is a term of endearment. It is a term of trust. The ancients, they would say, the ancient Jews would say, this is the most intimate word. It's the first words of a weaned child that shows that this child has this affection toward this father, that this child trust this father, that this term isn't a term of endearment to this father. And it's Abba. It's just like your babies when they began to speak. And they, even before they said dada, sometimes it was just ba 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 ba. Think about that. I think that's cool. When they're just gibberishing around and looking at you and ba 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 ba. Abba. Dad. Daddy. And listen, that's how Jesus prayed it. I did have a clip, but I'm not going to show it because I don't have time. But He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's 33 years old, and He's praying. And he is pouring His heart out to God. And there's this stress in His life that the Bible says that his sweat become drops of blood. And He's stressed of it because He's going to the cross, and He's asking His Father. He's saying, Abba. Abba, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Abba, Abba, ba, ba, ba. Daddy, Father. And so we don't find Jesus just as a baby saying it. He's a grown man. He's 33 years old. He's in the heat of it. He's in the battle of it. The enemy is just all over Him. Let's show the clip. Yeah, all right. You're just going to be late today, okay? I'm just going to tell you that right now, all right. Did I catch you off guard back there? Good.
Kulit kehu. Engel, castigate me, a gain luck is for. Let away the luck is for.
And I just think about just this whole thought of who our Father is. And He's not that serpent. We are not children of the devil. We are children of the Father God. And that's what we say. As Jesus spoke, Abba. And many folks say that throughout the whole New Testament, that's what they were saying. Abba, Abba, Baba, Daddy. That's how He was teaching. He was teaching this intimate relationship with Him. And that's how Jesus addressed. And what's great is that when Jesus comes into your heart, into your life, the Bible says that He comes in, that God sends forth His Spirit into our lives. And when He comes into our lives, He's crying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. We say who He is, our Father. Jesus called God Abba, and then He comes into our lives speaking, Abba, Father. He sends forth His Son. And we see this passage. We see it in Galatians 4:6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, born of God into the family of God. Jesus said it, and we say it. The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves what's born of Him. And that's His family. Did you catch that? This is what He says. He says, listen, Jesus comes, He's saying, my Father, Abba. Jesus comes into our hearts with the same thing. And it's in our hearts. It comes from our hearts by which this growing intimate relationship, this trusting relationship by which we say individually, Abba, He's my Abba. And the third thing is, Jesus comes along and says, say our Father. My Father, Jesus, your Father, our Father. When you pray, say our Abba. When you pray, address God as ours. So that when we're praying, laying on hands to God, for our people, whether it's a baby dedication or it's those sending forth out or just receiving people in or just praying for them, say our Father. It's all a part. We're all a part of the family of God. When I say our Father, in my prayer, I'm saying, this, my God, is my Abba. There's nothing like it. I asked you a question. Do you know God as Abba? Do you know God as Daddy? Do you know God in this great intimate relationship by which He caused you to be born again? He caused you to be born again. When we say, When we say or when we pray, we say who He is. He is Jesus' Abba. He is my Abba. He is our Abba. 1 Peter 1:3 says that our Father, by His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Who is this Father? What does He look like? Turn to Psalm chapter 103, please. Psalm chapter 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons your iniquities, all of them. Heals your diseases, all of them. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the sons of Israel. Do you know that God our Father reveals His acts to us when He pardons all our iniquities, when He heals all our diseases, when He redeems us from the pit of destruction and the miry clay and puts our feet upon the rock. With this great redemption, this is what this God does for us. And He's our dad that does this. He's our Father who does this. Who is this God? What are His ways? What are His acts towards us? He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And then He satisfies your years with good things. He gives you contentment with the good things of God. He's the giver of all things, a giver of all good life. He's the giver of good gifts. That's who He is. That's what His acts are to you and me. But then He has ways. And what are His ways? He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us. He'll not keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far He's removed our transgressions from us. And just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord our Father has compassion on those who fear Him. His ways, His acts. This is who He is. This is what our Father does for us. And when I say our Father in prayer, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, this is my Father, and this is what He's done for me, and this is what He'll do for you. It's interesting, the word pater in the Greek, the root comes from a root called to nourish. He's the nourisher. He's the one that protects. He's the one who upholds. He's the one who provides. When we say our Father, we say who He is. But we also say something else. We say that we are His children. I get to say I'm Abba's child. But what does that mean? You know, I think the meaning of it is pretty clear. The question that I would ask, not just what it means, but what does it do for us? It's important. What does it show to the world when we say we're His children? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. And I want us to look at who the children of God are. Who are Abba's children? Because we are distinguished from the other family. This is no universalism here. The only way that you can say that God is the Father of all is that He creates everybody in His own image. But in relationship, there's two families. So please hear this. In those of us in Christ, we belong to the family of God. He's our Father. If we're not in Christ, we belong to who? Our father, the devil. Okay, very important. It's very, very important to understand this. That we who are in Christ and in God, the only way that we come to God and He becomes our Father in relationship is He causes us to be born again, and it's through the Son, it's through Jesus, it's through the cross. And yes, that's exclusive. It doesn't mean that He excludes anybody from that, but it's exclusive. It's what we believe. Look through all other religions, and they don't have any concept of God being Father. Islam has no concept of God being Father. Buddhism, they don't even have a concept of God. Matter of fact, When you read some things in the catechism of Buddhism, they say that's not one spot on earth that you could ever go and find redemption. You're going to pay for what you did. This is about the children of God. It's about God as our Father. It's about God birthing us. And so in 1 John, he gives us some very specific things about who the children of God are. And I want to just go through it very, very quickly. And then I want us to do the third thing is this. When we say this, when we say our Father, we say who our Father is, we say who we are, and we're children of God, and then we say this is how we're going to live. And we get up from the prayer time, and we live the way that God's called us to live. 1 John chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know Him. So all of a sudden, there's this separation. There's the children of God, and then there's the world, and they don't know us. Already, John has talked about God as light, and in Him there's no darkness. Now he comes to this place and says, listen, God is Father, and we're His children. And beloved, we are children of God, and it's not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we'll see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope, this anticipation that we're going to be just like Him, will purify himself just as He is pure. Now watch, verse 4. Everyone who is practicing sin is practicing lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, very important. I hope your Bible is open, you're reading this. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there's no sin. So listen, when Jesus came, and He came crying, Abba, Father, what did He come to do? He came to take away the sin. In a minute you're going to see, He comes to destroy the works of the devil. Why? Because we're no longer children of the devil. We're children of God. We're children of God. And you're going to notice in this prayer, we're children not only of God as our Father, but He's our King, and He's our Master, and He's our Lord, and He's our Provider, and He's our Savior, and He's our Deliverer. He's our God. He's our Leader. And we're a part of this great, great kingdom. And it just happens to be that this King called Jesus is also our Father. I look at this passage. It says, listen, this is what God comes to do. This is what Jesus comes to do. When I say Abba, Father, I'm saying, listen, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a part of the Father. He says this. He says, no one who abides in Him continues to sin or continues to practice sinfulness. The one who sins has seen Him. The one who sins or keeps on sinning neither has seen Him or known Him. Little children, make sure no one's deceiving you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous, and the one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil's sin from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And no one who's been born of God practices sin. Why? Because his seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Read it. There's a distinction here. I'm going to tell you this. We are children of God, but this is what children of God look like. Now, let me tell you this. We all have our seasons. And some of us have seasons longer than others that are not good. So hear what I'm saying. The Bible says, Jesus said it like this, right? Now, listen. Our doctrine, and what we believe, is to agree with the sound words of Jesus in a doctrine conforming to godliness. And this is what Jesus said. He said there's two trees. There's a good tree and a bad tree. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And this is what else he says. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. But that's not the way it is in the original. A good tree cannot keep on producing bad fruit. Now, you know why I like that? Because it tells me I've got great hope. That if I'm in the mess, and if I'm in it, I'm going to say, I can't keep on living like this. And you know, I've used this illustration before. There's three pecan trees right out here. And they produce great pecans. Right? Stroops, you all got some this week. Right? They're great pecans. Listen, we go out there every year, pick pecans. They're great. We look forward to them. And sometimes we go out there, pecans are horrible. And we take, and there's not one pecan that's good. I don't say, this tree's a bad tree. I just go cut it down. That would be crazy, because for years I've been coming to this tree and I've been enjoying its fruit. And this season, it's just not its season. So I'm just going to wait till next season. And you know what? Sometimes that next season it's bad, but I don't say it's a bad tree. I go back expecting it's a good tree. And guess what? Next year, good tree. Great crop. Tasty. Wonderful pecans. And so we have our seasons. Well, let me just say this. You're a child of God. We're children of God. Listen, we don't stay in our junk. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't we rejoice with that? Why wouldn't we say yes? Because why? Because His seed abides in me. Thank you, God. My Father, I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm going through a hard time. But God, I want to thank you that you're my son, that I'm your son. I'm your child. And you know what, Lord? That's who I am in you. And I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe what your word says. I'm not going to believe what I feel. I'm not going to believe because I got disappointed by something. I'm not going to allow that to be my final source of authority. I'm going to let the word be the final source of my authority. And you know, somehow when we see these words and we see what God says, we go, ah, I agree with that. And guess what happens? You're coming out of the pit. You're coming out of that season of bitterness. You're coming out of that season of lust. You're coming out of that season of anger. You're coming out of that season of those. Why? Because I know my Father. And when I say my Abba, I know that I'm His child. And when I say He's my, and I say I'm His child, I know that I'm supposed to be, we are supposed to be distinguished from the rest of the world. Isn't that what Moses said? Oh God, if you go with us so that we can be distinguished from the rest of the world. What do you think it means for the Spirit of God to come into us? It means that He's in us, making the difference. The question is will I believe that and will I line up to that? So when I say, our Father who is in heaven, I'm saying, you're my Abba and I'm your child. And you know what else I'm saying? I'm saying, listen, you said that the children of God in Romans chapter 8, 14, they're led by the Spirit and they have no more fear and they are heirs in Christ Jesus. Led by the Spirit, Romans 8, 14 through 18. Look it up. Read it sometime today. We say we're children of God, but guess what else we say? We say, this is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to live. Our Father who art in heaven, you are my Father. I am your child, and this is how I will live. And I'm going to give you five things real briefly, and then we're going to close with this, and we won't look at Scripture. I'll tell them where you are. I hope that you'll write it down. I've got about 60, 70 sheets of notes out on the information thing. If you want to pull it, I've also got questions for small group leaders, and I also have questions for families that want to ask their children tonight about this sermon today, so you can integrate it into your home, and you can begin to pray this prayer with great power and great meaning. But it just says this. This is what I say. I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to walk in love. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, listen, as children of God, as beloved children, follow God. Follow the Father and walk in love. Another word is imitate Him. Imitate Him. Okay. And so He's my Abba. I'm His child. I'm a child of God. I'm to look different. So now I'm going to follow Him and I'm going to walk in love. Now listen, if you're a child of the devil, you can't do this until the Spirit of God, until you're born again by the Spirit of God. And if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, today could be your day to be born again by the Spirit of God. Maybe God right now is stirring your heart to say, I'm not living like that. And I've never accepted Christ. I've never received Him. And I just know that I've never been born again. I've never been born by the Spirit. And you know what? I want to follow Him. I want to walk in love. I want to imitate Him as a beloved child. And that's what He says. Imitate Him as a beloved child and walk in love as Christ loved you and how He forgave you. There's a second thing that I'm saying I'm going to do. I'm going to love like He loved. I'm going to love like He loved. Matthew 5, 43. I lied. I'm going to turn to that one, okay? Matthew chapter 5, okay? 5. Notice what it says, 43, if you can get there. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. What? Is that what they said? That we should hate our enemy? But I say, do you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Why? So that you may become sons of your Father who's in heaven. Because He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? If you greet one of your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect. You shall be mature. You shall be complete as your Heavenly Father is complete. I'm going to love like He loves. That's hard. To love my enemies, There's something about, though, that when I go from hate and distrust and all those feelings of what they did, and I go over and I begin to love them, nothing like it. Try it. You're sons of God. While you were enemies, while we were enemies, He loved us and died for us. Amen? That's His nature. That's what He does. That's what we do. That's what we do as children. And when I pray, "Our Father in heaven," you know, I'm saying, "God, you're my God in heaven, and yet you're so close and you're in my life, and therefore I'm gonna do what the child of God does, and that's follows you and loves like you." The third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to promote family love and unity. I'm going to promote family love and unity. John 17, 22 through 24, where Jesus is praying to the Father, and He's saying, "Oh God, make them one as we're one. As the Father and Son are one, make us one." And I'm going to promote that. I'm going to promote family love and unity. The fourth thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to live an unselfish, selfless life today. And that's just simply the very first thing that I say. Our Father. I mean, yes, I have this thing in my spirit where I say Abba, but then when I pray, I say Our Father. And it's not about me. It's about us. And therefore, you look in this prayer, you don't see my I, you see our and us. Give us. Forgive us. The fifth thing I want to do is I just want to live the Abba life. I want to live the life Christ lived. And you know, when I think about this passage of Scripture, and I sit down and I begin my prayer, "Our Father in heaven," I've got a ton to talk to God about. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel that first. It may be 3 minutes, it may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, it may be 20 minutes. It may be you can't get past that because you're just having such an intimate time with God. But I start my prayer time with that. You know, I want to encourage you to do that. Just to start it. Pick a time in the morning, afternoon, evening. Doesn't matter. Pick a place. It doesn't matter where the place is. And there's no posture. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to stand. Just do whatever God wants you to do. I mean, you look at people, they prayed everywhere. I mean, they prayed everywhere. Didn't they prayed in war? They prayed alone. One guy prayed in a fish. Jonah, right? He prayed in a fish. They pray on the banks. They pray on the mountaintops. They pray in the valleys. They pray when it's hard. They pray when it's easy. Just pray. Just go. Just go to a place. It doesn't matter where it is. And it doesn't matter how you're going to go that way. Just go and you make a decision. God, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to eat leeks this week every day. I'm going to say, "Our Father," and let you fill in the blanks with me. And I want to show you how we might do that. Bow with me in prayer. Ushers, come forward for the morning offering, please. I want to model this for you. As they come forward and get ready, I'm going to start it. I find my place in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, and I begin my prayer time. And I say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And sometimes I get so overwhelmed with it, I just say, "Oh God, you are my Father." And I say, "You are my Father. You are our Father. Jesus said, Abba, Father. He addressed you as Abba. And I thank you so much for the privilege of coming in before you and to be able to say, Abba, Father." It's so refreshing, Lord. It's so trusting because that's who we are, Lord, and you. We're trusting children. And we're trusting this great God who says, "Say our Father, say our Abba." That's what you say for us to say. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for that today. And I want to thank you that that's what I say. You're my God, but you're my Abba. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, Father, oh, Abba, I thank you. Father, I thank you that your benefits are great. You've pardoned my iniquities. You've healed my diseases. You've redeemed my life from the pit. You've crowned me with loving kindness. Lord, you've taken away all my sins. You've not dealt with me. You deal with me as sons. You forgive me, and I'm forgiven, and I'm just so grateful for that. And oh God, you're so compassionate, and you're so full of loving kindness and truth. And God, you forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. And that's what you've done to me as my Father and as your Son. And so I stand before you complete in you. You're so good to me, God. You're so good to me, Father. And I thank you for your goodness this morning. I praise you and I worship you and I thank you, Lord. You be the glory and the honor because you're my Abba, you're my Father. And Lord, I'm your child. I'm a child of the King. And God, I want to go get up from this place today and somehow I want to walk away living after you. I want to follow you because that's what children do. They follow their dad. They follow their mom. They do what their dad does. They do what their mom does. And I want to be a beloved child of yours today. God, I want to love like you love. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the family of God that I'm going to see this week. I'm going to see this Sunday. Oh God, help me to be a person. Help me to be a child of the kingdom that promotes this unity. Oh, I don't want to live selfish. I want to live selfless. I want to live that way with my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, the community. I want to live that way with you. Oh God, I want to. Father, Abba, I want to live Abba's life. Whatever that means, whatever that looks. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.